This is Mental, the podcast to destigmatize mental health. I'm Bobby Temps.
I'm Danny Hogan.
Each Thursday, we delve into a factor or condition that influences the mind and how to better manage it. With special guests and stats you can trust, here we go. We're back for another lockdown interview, this time with past guest Shanley Lewis, who's been on an episode about self-care and family support. I'll link those in the episode description if you want to hear more from her. She is the founder of Good To Me, a self-care subscription box service, and a psychological therapist. She's one of our all-time favourite and most popular guests, so I was really delighted to get to speak to her again. We talk all about her tips for dealing with lockdown, how her clients are experiencing it, and some lovely surprising positives of how resilient people around her have been during this difficult time. So we'll get into that interview with Shanley in a moment.
Hello, I'm Shanley, and my experience of lockdown has been interesting. I would say it's been up and down, a mixture of adapting, changing, and lots of rest and mindfulness. I think when the whole lockdown happened, I remember kind of going through a big kind of state of shock. I think I was actually quite oblivious and in denial about the whole thing really happening. So I'm based in London and heard lots about it happening, you know, that there was going to be a lockdown in the news, but I just still felt that it's not really going to happen yet. So I still had so much plans for the year. And I think that was one thing that I had to adapt to, one of the changes. I had tried out a new technique where I'm planning out my year in terms of like quarters. So I basically had the year all planned out and realized actually that in like a click of my fingers, my whole world changed. So instead of me going to work physically and seeing clients, I then was now working from home and having to adapt to that and that whole environment. You know, a lot of the work and things that I enjoy doing is by connecting with people physically. So that was completely cut off. So there was a big change in my routine and I've had to take a while to really adjust to that. But I've been allowing myself to adjust to the slight changes to my routine. Probably changed my routine about 5 times during this whole period. And being basically behind 4 walls, like regularly, quite often. So that was something, and I guess that's why it's been up and down. And I remember when the whole lockdown happened, I was very much oblivious to it, hadn't been watching the news as much anyway. So a lot of the information that I was getting was from family and friends. And then I knew it was starting to build up. So I started to tell people, if you've got any information about it, I don't want to hear it. So I was putting up those boundaries.
Oh, really?
And weirdly, yeah. And weirdly, somebody managed to get a video sent to me. So
sorry, I love the way you phrase that. Somebody managed to get a video sent to you. It sounds like a spy operation.
Yes, it felt like it. So this video, I opened up this video and it was a video of the army trucks coming down to London. During that time, I did believe it. I don't know if it ever did happen. I'm not too sure.
I've certainly seen that. It was, as far as I know, to support testing and also the Nightingale hospitals. You know, which I remember thinking at the time, you know, that's how we know how serious this is. But then also at the same time, I was thinking, how wild would it be? You know, imagine if you're ill with this new disease, the world is still figuring out, an ambulance turns up for you, and one of the paramedics is in army uniform. How in danger would you feel? Like, I know, you know, they're brilliant medics. They're trained to respond to high pressure situations as a paramedic would. But at the same time, you'd think, oh, I must be really ill.
Yeah. And I think that would probably just alarm you even more. And I think that's the state that I was in. I had a big shock and I just started panicking. I think I was lying down in bed at that time. And I just got up in a shock and I was like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? I there started to catastrophize. And then within that moment, I just said, just stop. There was an affirmation that came to me, one of actually my favorites that's helped me in the past a lot before. I will handle it. I will handle it. Whatever will happen, I will handle it. So I guess I was panicking and thinking about the future, maybe all the plans I probably had and how I would manage that. which I did, which was quite soothing. And that's where I started to tap into, I would say, my emergency self-care, which has been mindfulness. It has honestly saved me during this time, working at home, adapting to that. There's been more demand at work, supporting clients. Literally, it feels like supporting everybody because everyone's been impacted by this in some sort of way. So really being able to kind of share that message of how people can look after themselves during this time.
If I could just input as well on mindfulness, I'm glad that you've mentioned it, because if people aren't that familiar with what it is, a lot of mindfulness techniques come back to bringing your focus more to the present and what's happening now.
Yeah.
You know, that so much of anxiety in particular can be based on fear of things that are going to happen in the future and how things could escalate and snowball. And so in many ways, not just from a mental health perspective, but also the pandemic and the lockdown, mindfulness is a really great tool right now, because the present and day by day is all a lot of us have. I have no idea when parts of my work will get back to normal. And I've just had to practice not thinking about that every day, because it's not going to change it, and instead focus on things like the podcast that I am still doing and I can be productive with.
I love that. Yeah, it's all about, you know, focusing on the here and now and being present. And I think that can easily happen to many of us, is just having a state where we just feel we're out of control. And I guess that's the whole point, is, you know, our mind is always trying to make sure, are you okay? Are you in control? Everything's balanced. And when we have something like, or what we're in right now, happen, we're not in control. We don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. There's all of that uncertainty. And with that uncertainty comes a lot of anxiety, comes a lot of worry, comes a lot of panic. So practicing the mindfulness has really helped to identify what is in my control and focus on those things. Yeah.
And I can really see that for you, because a lot of your identity is so closely tied to your work and your productivity within that. So then to see your calendar fall away in the way that it has for so many people, it's like, well, who am I now? Like, even when recording this, I had to remind you that you don't need to introduce your profession up at the top of the show, because I'll introduce it in the intro, because you're so used to leading with your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, maybe now is a reminder that you're pretty fucking incredible, work or no work.
Most definitely. And I think even during that time, I think, although I guess I have still been, I guess, working within some sort of capacity, I've had so much time to rest and just have time for myself, just doing, I guess, those things that I actually absolutely love, like just simply watching like vlogs and stuff on YouTube. Absolutely love it. And just having that time. So for me personally, it has been rocky in terms of adjusting to my routine, adjusting to the changes in terms of maybe how I'm working, but great in a sense that I've been able to, again, connect even further and more with myself and just chill and be me. So I guess for me, being an introvert as well, this is like very energy saving.
Yeah, and you do a good job of being a fake extrovert as well, I'll say, you know, the way you come across.
Yes.
And, you know, people are so at the core of what you do. Look at you silently laughing.
I love that one, actually.
And so one thing I want to ask you about then is with your clients, you know, those that you are still working with and you're supporting their mental health, how is that changing?
A lot of what the focus is right now is dealing with and coping with that uncertainty. For many people, it is an uncomfortable feeling to not kind of know what's happening in the future, to not know what's happening next, and to, again, really want to have that sort of control with everything, like worrying about loved ones or worried about what's going to happen next, worried about if, you know, they may, you know, catch the virus, if they catch, are they bringing home the virus? Because I'm talking to quite a wide range of people who may be working in environments where they may be in contact with others who have the virus, worrying about, am I going to give this to my kids, to my family? Am I going to die? Am I then going to... So lots of like catastrophizing, lots of worries that's been currently going on. And it's all about really firstly helping people to kind of understand the types of worries that they're having and knowing how to deal with the worries that tend to happen, are the worries where, you know, it's future focused. They're usually based on the future. What's going to happen? What if this happens? And helping them to let go of these worries, because, again, that's not helping. It's not helping the situation. It's not helpful. And it's keeping them in a state of anxiety constantly, if we are constantly worrying about something that we're not able to solve or control, we will stay in that state of anxiety, be on edge, and so much more could then happen.
Right. And also it's very paralyzing that our ability to live life as normal is already so inhibited. So then if you're paralyzed by your mental health as well, it just makes it even worse.
Even worse, yeah. And that's another thing that we've been doing, is really just helping people to know about building up their resilience. So, you know, making sure that they're actually sticking to, you know, their routines, practicing lots of self-care, taking time out and focusing on what they can control. So things like grounding, doing a lot of grounding and teaching people these techniques, helping people to be present in the here and now, to cope, basically, to cope through this time. I think it's not about kind of getting rid of it or rushing through it. It's about coping. So lots of things to help people to cope with, whether it's the stress that comes along with it, or to be able to solve the problems, or just emotionally cope with what's happening right now and all of the change, all of the adapting.
How do you feel people are coping?
You know, honestly, I'm quite impressed. The people that I've come across, the clients I've come across, and just genuinely, even our waiting list just shows how people have been. We had a waiting list of a year and a half. That was it. And as soon as this happened, there's no waiting list. People are getting seen straight away. It's honestly, I have no words. It's actually really, it's not what we predicted. Basically, we thought things were going to get even worse. And even adapting to, like, using, because now we're not seeing people face to face. It's video or telephone or online therapy. And people have been able to adapt. And it's, that's impressive. And people have been able to cope. I think a lot for me as well, I started to think maybe people won't recover, and, you know, I'd be staying with clients for, you know, longer than expected, and people have been recovering. They've taken the tools and used the space very well, and I'm really pleased. So yeah, I think that's really shocked me, to be honest, and I'm really impressed by that. But yeah, people have been coping quite well. I think they've been struggling at first because it's a shock,
right,
and it's hard to cope with, but when they're kind of given the space to talk about it and the tools to be able to deal, cope or manage, they've been doing exceptional.
I love that. And I think that's the power of having an outside voice like that in your life, that for a lot of us, we're having these experiences where we're all checking in with each other. We're maybe speaking to friends and family more than we would do. People that were isolated before maybe feel more licensed to reach out now. They should have never felt that they couldn't reach out, but for many people they did. Whereas now there's an expectation that everyone reaches out and supports each other. And I think that goes a really long way. And for many people that need that bit of extra support, speaking to someone like yourself, who can just offer that bit of extra clarity, and you're coming with more of the techniques and the potential answers through changing their behaviour, I can see how much of a difference that would make. And so then, just to round up, are there any, like, last tips you'd want to share on how you're coping, or you're encouraging others to take ownership of their mental health?
Yeah, so I'll definitely say, going back to what we were talking about initially, is being present, practicing being present in the moment and knowing what is your reality. So owning your own reality. I think during these times, it can be easy to catch on to the panic, the anxiety. And sometimes that might not be your own reality. So being aware of that and using this time to focus on what's important to you. So whether, you know, that's your values, whatever you find joy in doing. So focusing on that and sticking to some sort of a routine. So sticking to the basics, whether it's, you know, a bedtime routine, morning routine, what have you. But just sticking to what has been working to you to, again, you know, maintain that good, you know, good health overall.
Yeah, that's right. Because for the majority of us, I'd say our life has got smaller in some way, you know, whether that's less socializing, or we're not at work right now, or we're at home more than we'd normally be. Mm. Our life has kind of shrunk. But in a way, I see there's some opportunities in that to examine the things around you. And it's been a reminder for me of the simple things of, like, if I clean more often, I'll feel better. You know, tidy space, tidy mind. And things that often I'd overlook because I'm just so busy rushing around that I'm not actually pausing in my space and being like, you know what? I've been meaning to get a lamp for that corner because it's been annoying me, or I've been meaning to change that bulb. And like these small things, like changing a light bulb, somehow really affects my mood on a dark day.
Love that.
So we'll round up there then. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Fighting very hard for your title of most frequent guest. Thanks so much.